Well, I'd love to start out with actually your family, in particular your mother, and the whole connection to face painting. I think that's a wonderful part of the film is when your character in this film is fully body painted. But I know, looking just in your history a little bit, that your mom's career has really impacted you, and I think a lot of us who know you know, of course, the famous time you're on Conan, where you got to actually paint his face. Can you tell us a bit about what it was like growing up as young Britt?
Wow. This is a great question. I love talking about my mom, and she's had an incredible influence on my life. She's just an artist through and through. And so we really bonded. When I was in high school, she and I would travel around the Midwest together in the summertime, painting faces at different festivals and fairs, and in between, turning kids into tigers and butterflies, I would meet artists who were, making crafts as a living, or tightrope walking magicians, and that's where I really fell in love with the working class performer artist lifestyle. And I really credit my mom with opening my eyes to a world where I could be an artist as a job.
Was the inspiration from the story, where did that come from, an actual breakup, or was that just a starting point for the character? I'm kind of curious where this initial spark of your writing came from.
Yeah, so the story was inspired by my own story of heartbreak. When I found myself with my heart split open after a broken engagement, I found out around that same time that the Barnum and Bailey Circus was closing its doors after, I believe it was 150 years. And their final show was in New York, and I at the time was in LA. And with the permission that heartbreak gives you to do something for no particular reason, I got in my car and started driving, staying at various national forests along the way, camping and visiting a few friends, and drove from LA to New York in order to see the final performance. And when I got there, I'd never seen the Barnum & Bailey Circus before, but I had been writing, a feature film that the story was kind of based around, and I just wanted to experience this, epic historic circus. And experiencing the end of that circus alongside the end of my engagement really helped me to contextualize, when something is no longer working, it's okay for it to end. And in fact, it's the opportunity for something new to begin.
Wow.
And so, that was one of the seeds for the story. Of course, there are many other little latch holes I could talk to, but that was the main one, the road trip across the country.
So cool. Well, looking at kind of logistics of the shoot, can you share with us where you actually shot, especially the circus stuff that was outdoors, but where did you shoot the majority of this film?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. It was in two locations, both near Los Angeles. One was on a film ranch just north of the city, and that was where we kind of built the base camp of the circus. And the second day of shooting was actually the whole reason why the film happened when it did, or when we shot it when we did, was because I came in contact with the Flynn Creek Circus, which is a Mendocino-based small tenting circus. And as I was doing field research with them, they said, hey, guess what? We're actually coming down to L.A. to perform at a circus-themed wedding on an avocado farm. and I dropped everything I was doing. I said, okay, tell me exactly when you're going to be there. And they miraculously were able to get permission from the wedding client to allow the film crew to come the last day after the wedding was finished. And so I was in costume for the scene where we're working with the tent. I'm in costume with the real Flint Creek Circus, and we're shooting docu style at the end of this wedding.
So cool. So for the next series of three questions, I'm just going to go off what I wrote down while watching, just kind of my things that stood out to me. The first one that I wrote down was the really cool time-lapse shot in the bathtub. Can you tell me a bit about shooting that sequence? And obviously that's the emotional break of your character, but how important was it to kind of make that scene unique? I really love the way you shot it.
Well, thank you so much. And I have to give credit to two important people named Alex who worked on the film. One is the DC Alex Nalfell. That shot was actually, he set that shot up. And I had showed him the emotional kind of gesture, the physical position that I wanted Ava to be in, like that emotional physicality. And he set up that aerial shot of the. And I also have to give credit to Alex Nell, who is the creative producer and editor of this project. And it was her idea to sort of speed up the and make it time lapse. I had originally, I hadn't anticipated it being a time lapse, but we shot the whole bathtub draining, and it ended up being just the perfect choice to feel Ava's, to feel drained. I mean, for lack of a better word, to feel drained from the exhaustion of the grief.
Well, it definitely worked. I think it sets in such a unique point, and it's such a visually nice shot that it really worked for me. So I enjoyed it. The next thing I wrote down was Tomato the Fish is played by Potato the Fish. Explain.
Well, I wanted to make sure the fish could really feel like a separation from his character.
How?
I didn't want to put him in a box, I didn't want to typecast him.
I think that works perfect. From an actress turning into a director, I think that's perfect. The next thing I wrote down was the music by Dream Tape and composer Jason Lesser, and in particular, I love your closing song, Soul Sister. It was such a beautiful way to end it. Can you talk about the music?
Yeah. Oh, I love the music so much, too. And coincidentally, Jason Lesser and the band Ma Muse, that whose song is Soul Sister, they both live in Sebastopol, California. They don't know each other. It's just a total coincidence. And I met the Flint Creek Circus when they were performing in Sebastopol, California. So there was some kind of magic going on that that got all of that alignment together. But yeah, Jason wrote three of the songs that are in the film actually prior to seeing the film, but he wrote them when he was himself going through a heartbreak. And so when I heard his music, he's a friend of mine, and we just decided it would make perfect sense to collaborate. So the music and the film kind of had a conversation with each other as we were editing. Sometimes we would edit to his music, and sometimes we would tweak his music just a little bit to fit with the film. But I feel like there's just a nice collaboration going on with his music and the heart of the film. And then, yeah, Ma Muse, the song Soul Sister, I think it's so touching, and the two women, Carisha and Sarah, were so generous to let us use it in the credits.
Very nice. So just looking back at your wonderful career, you've been able to be on some really interesting shows. But I'm curious, now that you've jumped into the writing, directing phase, I'm sure you've been wanting to write and direct for a long time, but I'm curious if there was any moments on sets, either I thought of maybe Sisters with all those wonderful multi-talented women on that film, or even in 2017 you were part of Miss Roosevelt, which we got to see here in Dallas. It won the Grand Jury Prize, and lovely Miss Wells. But if there was any inspiration in your career, like working on Man Seeking Woman or any of the shows you've been on, who were the kind of the inspirations for you to continue to branch out, not just as an actress, but to branch out into being a creative filmmaker?
Yeah, well, you mentioned two of them for sure. Watching Noelle act in her directorial debut was a major feat of courage for me. And, of course, getting to work with Tina and Amy on Sisters, just seeing the powerhouse of sisterhood that they brought to set as multifaceted performers and producers. And then I would say I've also been lucky to work with Chris Lowell, who's an actor-director on Besides Phil Waters, Ben Sinclair on High Maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with the late Lynn Shelton on a show called Casual, and working with her, she was more director-actor, but definitely felt like an actor's director. And then now I'm actually working on a new series with Ben Stiller as the director, and I'm really looking forward to, we're just in pre-production right now, but I'm also really excited to learn from his approach as a director. And yeah, I've been lucky to work on projects that have folks wearing multiple hats.
So sad you brought up Lynn. She was one of my favorite interviews. She came to Dallas for one of her films. But I'm so grateful that you mentioned her. I loved Casual, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love Lynn, and I just cherish the moments I got to be with her.
So I've got to ask, the film festival circuit, can you talk about the excitement of hearing that the film would have been in Tribeca, but how you had to pivot, and what your experience has been like being able to do, for us locally, Women Texas Film, obviously your success in Nashville recently, but also Mill Valley, and then I think you're coming up with LA Short soon. Can you talk about being on the festival circuit and kind of the weird ups and downs of this year for that?
Yeah, well, we were, you know, elated to find out that our work in progress that we had submitted to Tribeca was accepted, and it was really the Tribeca deadline that helped us to actually finish the film. We were really up to the deadline of when they needed our DCP, and then, of course, everything, you know, turned on its head, and I thought Tribeca did such a beautiful job of taking care of the filmmakers, and we were lucky to be asked to represent Tribeca as one of the films in the We Are One Global Film Festival, which was on YouTube for about a week, and the film was seen by something like 35,000 people around the world. And that's the kind of experience that I think is unique and a silver lining of these online festivals. And of course, I'm looking forward to the day where I can be in a movie theater and hear and feel people's reactions as they are experiencing the film. So it's bittersweet, but I feel like there are silver linings everywhere.
That's lovely. So these last two questions are just kind of fun ones, and then they'll, I hope, wrap up the interview nicely for you. The first one is, you're calling from an Illinois number, and I know that you're a Northwestern girl, Northwestern University. I've also read that you're a huge basketball fan, so I'm kind of curious, does that mean that you grew up a Bulls fan, Or when you went out to LA, you became, you know, immersed in the Laker gold and purple? Or who do you follow as basketball? And if you're a fan of the WNBA, obviously we'd love to hear that as well.
Oh, that's a great question. I will always be a Bulls fan. And, funnily enough, I'm a character in the new NBA 2K video game. And so I'm a fan of that kind of basketball, too.
That's so cool. Yeah, even I think your character is like Alex or something like that in that, which is crazy that you have so many Alexes on your film.
Yeah, wait, how did you know? Do you play that?
Yeah, I do. I do play NBA 2K, yeah.
Cool.
And then, okay, so last question to bring back your mom and kind of bring everything back full circle. You befriended me on Instagram, so I obviously stalked you a little bit on Instagram. And I noticed that your mom makes masks that are really cool. How does one come across that? I mean, I love the one you're wearing, but does she do a whole bunch of these? It looked so beautiful, the painted mask.
Well, that's the one thing I love about my mom. She's so great at making stuff. And, of course, you know, during the pandemic, there's no more face painting, but she found a way to paint people's faces through making masks. And I think she's made over 700 of them that she's just given away.
Wow, that's so
cool. She just has very busy hands.
And I guess I'll end it with a slightly one, because you did bring up Ben Stiller, I think it's called Severance, but I don't know if that's finalized or whatever. But is there anything you can share with us about that experience? Obviously, maybe not plot-wise, but just getting to meet Ben and what you're hoping that show can do, because I think that could be a really big one.
Wow. Well, we're just starting out. I have, our first rehearsal tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
I think what I can mostly share is just that this filming process will be completely unique and new for everyone involved. And because of all of the COVID protocols that are in place, and one of the things I'm always looking for a silver lining, but it does feel like we're going to be shooting shorter hours than is typical for a film set. So we're going to be shooting 10 to 12 hour days. Which I think is a real benefit for people's well-being, and I hope it's something that kind of lasts in terms of taking care of people's mind, body, and spirit as their immune system as they're working in this industry.
Very cool, and thank you for that. I wish you luck tomorrow and for the rest of the shoot. Britt, it's been a lovely chat. Thank you so much for the time. I know you got to prep for your next one, so thanks again for not just the chat, but also making the film. I really kind of was amazed at how connected I felt to it, even though being a guy, I could feel the opposite side of the pain, I think. So it was a lovely film to watch, though.
Thank you so much, and this was a lovely interview. And thanks for all the kind words.
Awesome. Britt, you have a great day, and best of luck tomorrow. That sounds like an awesome end to your week, it sounds like.
Yeah, thank you. I'm super excited.
Awesome. Bye, Britt.
Bye.